Once it is closed, it will never be open again to the people of the world. That door at this time is open. God has opened it, and you have the opportunity to pass through into that great world if you so desire. But the Bible teaches that men press their way into the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets till John, since that time men have pressed their way into the kingdom of God. And so then the kingdom of God is present today, and God has sent forth a ministry to preach the kingdom of God. So then we're here tonight to preach the kingdom of God to you. Hallelujah. And I feel the mighty God of heaven as I stand here to declare it. Hallelujah. Being sent of God to preach this great message of the kingdom of God. The powers and devils of hell can't withstand it. There is nothing that can prevail against the kingdom of God. But God has given open door. And he tells us in the book of Revelation, he said, you have yet a little strength because you have not denied my name. So then I have set before you the open door. And so then tonight the door is open. Because we still call upon the name Jesus. Because we still believe in the name Jesus. And just as long as we call upon the name of Jesus, I believe in the name of Jesus, there's going to be an open door in heaven. But when we fail to call upon the name Jesus, when we come to the place to where we don't care about Jesus anymore, when we come to the place to where we lean upon the name of our churches and our denominational powers, and we lean upon the name of the great dignitaries of the world, upon the powers of flesh, and upon all of the governmental powers that we see around us, then God is going to close the door, and the door will never be open again. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that God openeth and no man shutteth. God shutteth and no man can open. And today the door is standing open. When Noah built the great ark, the door was open. It stood ajar waiting for the people to enter in. For over 100 years, Noah preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he kept saying, enter into the ark. The way is made and the door is open. But they refused to have faith in the preaching of the word. And today the same thing is happening again. I'm preaching to you and other ministers are preaching to you that there is a door open in the great ark of God. And you've got opportunity to pass through. But the people are doing the same as they did in the days of Noah. They are deciding that it's not real. That there's something that's not real about it. They believe it's an old wives' fable. They don't believe there's anything that's reeled about it. And they're making no special effort to leave off with the things of the world to where they can enter into that great presence of God. But I want you to know tonight that it is real. The door of heaven is about to close. One day the door is going to close to the Gentile church. Old Brother Noah one day rose up and he didn't close the door. He just ended his message. He had been preaching for a long time. No doubt he was tired in body. No doubt he was weary from praying and fasting and seeking God and trying to listen for the voice of God to save the people. But one day God said, Noah, the message is finished and the days of revival is over. Everything is finished and it's a close now, Noah. And I want you to step back. Because I, God, am going to close this door. And know when I push to this door will never be open again to the salvation of mankind. All right. So here we are tonight in Way Cross. Hallelujah. The same great voice of God. Hallelujah. That was back yonder in the great biblical age. That echoed through the man called Noah. Today the same voice is echoing through me today to you and to those that will lift up their voice unto Christ. Hallelujah. That same voice, that same spirit, that same merciful God that's so tender that's still calling to you now. Hallelujah. That same Jesus that pleaded in the days of Noah that loved humanity enough that he opened the door that they might be saved. I look at the tent tonight, and the tent should be filled up, packed out, running over. I know it's Sunday night, and I understand that no doubt people at their own churches And I understand that. But, beloved friend, there's enough people that's not at any church tonight to fill up the stand and to run the stand over. But they don't believe the preaching of the Word. They don't believe there is a gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't believe there is such a thing as a door that's open in heaven. They don't believe that God has a salvation that can deliver them from the curses of evil and the curses of sin. As I look back through the telescope of time, and I look back into the past, I can see there's been a great move of God. I can see that there's been a great day. There's been a great message. Ever since the days of Adam, God's been doing something. And I can see a move of God. And I can see a stage of elevation where man is brought up into the presence of Christ. But that day ended with Calvary. Though there was mighty signs and miracles, though God stopped the sun in its orbit, though God opened up the earth and opened up the Red Sea, there came a day when that message was come to an end. And it came to an end at Calvary. And then the great Holy Spirit began to move again. And he looked down and he saw Brother Pike. And he saw you people of today. And the Holy Spirit began to move again. The power of God began to move again. And the apostles began to do signs and wonders again. And the great move was on again for the church world. God began to do something again. Because he saw me. He saw you. He saw the need. He saw the urgency. And so he sent the church ages and he sent the move of God. But Christian friend, once again there is another age about to close out. Once again there is another age about to close out. What is it? It's that age that is for the church world. That age that is for the church world is about to close out. Do you know that? Do you know that? There came a day when that message closed out. Back yonder it closed out at Calvary, my friend. You understand what I'm saying? There came a time it closed out. God kept dealing with the Jews. He kept pleading with the Jews. He kept asking the Jews to do His will. He kept giving them mercy. And He kept telling them. One day, He said, there's going to come a change. But they didn't believe it. One day the prophet walked along and the prophet said, yea, thus saith the Lord. Somebody said, but who hath made thee a ruler over us? Who are you, Elijah, that you should meddle in the business of the king? Who art thou, Elijah, that you should come and tell us what to do? Hallelujah. But that old prophet had thus saith the Lord. That old prophet had been with God. That old prophet had heard from heaven. Glory to God, he had something in his soul. And he came into the palace. He came into the king's court. He came into the villages. He came into the camps. And he said, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Old Brother Paul had a word from God. And when they got on the ship, and they begin to have trouble, they run to Paul. Paul put his face between his hands. He looked at that old captain and he said, I told you not to get out here in the middle of the sea. You should have listened to me instead of being vainly puffed up by your intellectual schooling of today. But when he got out there in the middle of the tempest, his school didn't do him any good. His college didn't do him any good. His money didn't do him any good. His counselors didn't do him any good. He turned to the man of God. And the man of God said, you should have listened at me, but you wouldn't do it. And he began to pray. And then Paul rose up and he became king of all. And he stood up and every eye was upon old Paul. He was no longer a prisoner bound that didn't know what he was doing. That was going to be tried. But he was God's man standing in the midst of the ship. Hallelujah. Standing up. Hallelujah. With everything under his command. And they said, Brother Paul, will you tell us what's going to happen? Paul said, thus saith the Lord, the God whom I serve, to whom I belong, has spoken to me this day and gave me a message and told me what to preach to you. And that if you will obey it, not one hair of your head will be lost. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God whom I serve. Oh, hallelujah. The God with whom I'm acquainted. The God to whom I, with whom I spend my time. That God spoke to me and gave me a plan. That God gave me a word. That God gave me an answer. And God told me what I could do. And if I would do it, He said, you can escape the evils of the world. Tonight there is a door that's open in heaven. What is that door? Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheepfold. What is that door? That door is the Word of God. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made Jesus. What is that door? That door is the bowels and mercy, the compassion of those that are in the earth today. But lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates, thou hast been made the Word, and open door with bowels of compassion to those that are without. But one day the travail is going to be over. One day the bowels of compassion is going to be closed. One day there's not going to be a door open anymore. For the Bible said, when God shut it, no man can open. You love Jesus? I see a message. I see a plane of living. I see a height with God. I see a place out of this world. What was it? It was a command to Moses. It was when God let Moses be born exceedingly fair. It was when God lifted up Moses and tutored him in all the ways of the Egyptians. It was the day of God. It was the move of God. My friend, it is referred to in the Bible as a heaven, a time of peace with God, a time when God walked among the people. It is reckoned with God as being a heavenly place. The Bible said wherever we get together, that we set together in heavenly places. Is that right? The Bible teaches that when we come together two or three of us in the name, God will come in the midst of us. Is that right? And so then it was a time of heaven. It was a time of rejoicing. It was a time when God was with His people. That was a time when God stood in the midst of His people. And God did strange things for His people, and He cut the rest of the world out. That was a heaven back there. But I want you to know that that ended with Calvary. I want to bring you back to record that it ended with Calvary. It was a day of rejoicing. It was a day of splendor. It was a day when the people of Israel could throw out their chest and say, we are the chosen people of the living God. One day America could do that. There was a day when America could do that. There was a day when America could go into the foreign countries and she could throw out a chest and say, we're of God, and God fights our battles and we are the victor. Hallelujah. In our ways, please God, God maketh our enemies to be at peace with us. Hallelujah. For righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. One day America could do that. But one day America lost out, beloved friend. One day she got careless. Isn't that what Israel did? Oh, hallelujah. One day Israel got careless. She took God for granted. God kept feathering her nest, and God kept blessing her, and God kept giving her the good things of life. Every day God would pour out His blessing upon her, and Israel could go out and God would rain the manna from heaven down that she might be fed. But one day she got careless. One day she took God for granted. One day she said, God's our God. We don't have to worry. When we are sick, God heals us. God don't let the shoes rot off of our feet. He don't let our feet swell in this wilderness. He pours out His abundance of blessing upon us. Every nation that rises against us, God puts to silence. Why? Because the Bible said if your ways please God, He'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. Isn't it a true fact that ever since we've been a nation over here and we're trying to serve God, that God made our nation, the other nations, be at peace with us? Isn't it true that God took care of our enemies when they rose up against America? But God is not taking care of our enemies anymore, friend. He's not taking care of them anymore. They're coming in on every side of us. They're slipping in on every side of us. I got a letter from Sweden the other day. And Brother Carl said, Brother Pike, I hope you can hurry to Sweden. I hope God can invade this place before Russia invades it. You understand what I'm saying? Russia was afraid of us. The Bible said they'll be afraid of you because you're called by my name. Unless you was afraid of us. Germany was afraid of us. There was a time when the nations was afraid of Israel. Israel was a little nation. And the nations was afraid of Israel. Though she was a small nation, they still were afraid to come against Israel. Because God stood in the midst. Is that right? But one day, they began to lean upon the arm of flesh. Old Brother Samuel came with a message. Said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Oh Israel, you cry for a king. And they said, give us a king. Oh, give us a king. We want to be a nation like other nations. Give us a king. We want a king. Oh, Brother Samuel said, listen to me. Said, let me plead the cause of God and let me reason with you. Said, you've got a king. You don't need a king. You've got a king. Who is this king that you're speaking of, Samuel? It's Christ in the midst of us. God. God is with you. You've got a king. You don't need a king. You've already got a king. But they said, we want a king. Hallelujah. We're not satisfied with being scattered here and there. Let us make us a little group. Let us clan up. Let us get us a name for our church. Let's denominationalize here. Let's get us a chief leader. But Samuel said, folks, hear me. You've got a king. You've got King Jesus. Hallelujah. They said, but we want somebody we can see. All right, he said, I call you to record this day. You've got a king. I gave you a king. I gave you a king. I turned you to God. But this day I call you to record, I'll give you another king. But Samuel said, let me witness to you. He said, your little ones eat when they were hungry. He said, you had houses to live in. He said, you was blessed when God was leading you. He said, but today that you get into this condition of having a ruler over you, somebody outside of God, he said, an intellectual power will rise up. And then you will be the prey of every beast of the field. Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
All right. Said he will turn your daughters and sons into servants. But they said, we want a king. We want a king. God stood with Israel. God stood with Israel. Israel didn't have to worry. Why? Because God was with Israel. God had everything for Israel. All Israel had to do was whine a little bit. And God would treat Israel like a baby. And give her everything that she wanted. God has done the same thing for America. God has given America everything. Every time she's even as much as wine, God has given her something. Isn't that right, beloved friend? God has given her the desires of her heart. But she's decided that she needs a king. She's decided that she can lean on somebody outside of God. She's decided that she don't need to pray. She's decided that she needs diplomas, that she needs education, that she needs money, she needs skill. She needs somebody in the medical profession that can assure her of her health and life. But all of her faith is taken out of God. All of her faith is taken out of God. It's so easy to run to the pill box when you have a pain. It's so easy to run to the dentist when you have a pain. It's so easy to run to the doctor every time you have a discomfort. But remember, God let those pains and discomforts be in this world that we might learn obedience by the things that we suffer. Remember, there's another world, there's another man, there's another life. There's a God who is a spirit. And God has put this life in a little human box, a little human temple, and subjected it to suffering that we might learn to suffer, and in those sufferings learn what the sufferings of hell will be like, so that we can clean up our spiritual life and can suffer the natural things instead of having to go into the flames of hell to suffer in the flames of hell.
Amen.
But in the state that we're living in, there are doctors, there's people that can deliver. There are those that turned away the pain so we don't have to worry, so we don't learn obedience because we don't suffer. The old folks years ago lived for God. You know why? They didn't have the doctors. They didn't have the conveniences. Isn't that right? They had to trust in the living God. They couldn't run to the doctors every time they had a pain. Is that right? And so then they learned obedience by the things they suffered. And they learned respect for God. And they lived a good holy life. But the generation we got, they don't have to suffer. They don't have to do anything. All they've got to do is run to the doctor when they have a pain. Is that right?
Right.
But let me tell you something. You're trusting in the arm of flesh.
Amen.
And the Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh. Cursed is the man that goeth down to Egypt for his help. You're leaning upon the arm of flesh and you're missing God. God is a spirit. We've got to come back to the old landmarks of realizing that God is a spirit. We've got to realize there's a spiritual God in this world. And that we are spiritual people, that we are not natural people, that we do not belong to this world and to the societies of this life. One thing that we have a hard time doing, beloved friend, is realizing that we are not of this world. I want to call you to record tonight to let you know that you're not of this world. The Bible teaches that you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. I've hid you with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things. You're not of this world. You're not born of the flesh, but you're born of the Spirit. Jesus carefully pointed out, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, he said, it is spirit. My friend, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born to flesh is flesh. You can tell when a person is born to the flesh. They desire the things of the flesh. They desire the things of the world. They want the comforts and conveniences of life. You can tell when they're born to the flesh. Jesus said, Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. Satan loves the things that be of the world. Satan loves human relationship with male and female. Satan loves the fine automobiles. Satan loves the pools and the lakes, the seashores and the frolics. Satan loves the things of this world, friend. And did you know that that's what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to incorporate the things of this world into religion. If he can get the religious leaders of today to accept the fact that everything in the world is all right, he'll make it one great big religious move, a great charismatic order, and he'll take over the world and blind the people, and they'll quit striving for perfection. Amen. Striving to be spiritual. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. All right. Praise God. Now then, I want to be a spiritual person. I want to be a spiritual person. Now listen, I want to reason with you a few minutes now. I am born to the Spirit. I am from heaven. Jesus said, you're from beneath, but I am from above. I am born to the Spirit. I love the things of the Spirit. The Bible said, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. How can I walk in the Spirit, Brother Pike? By walking in the Bible mind of God. By walking in the Word of God. By walking in the mind of Christ. That is Spirit. Not walking in your own mind, which is the beast mind that come from the garden. Is that right? But God wants you to walk in His Spirit. Walk in His mind, friend. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then tonight, we are not natural, but we are spiritual. We are not born to the flesh, but we're born of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, lest a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. He wasn't speaking of seeing the kingdom of God with your natural eyes, but he was speaking of seeing God who is a spirit through the eyes of understanding. We cannot see God with these little eye nerves. We've got to see God through the eyes of understanding. We've got to comprehend God, the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. For it's given unto us that we might comprehend God, for God is a spirit. No man has seen God at any time. Somebody said, one day I will see Him. The Bible said God is the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. God is a spirit. Jesus Christ alone is that human body and image of God. He alone dwells in that light. And God is looking upon us through the bloodstream of the Son of God. So then tonight, we are born to the Spirit of the living God. We are spiritual beings. What then should we do? We should walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit, We should be a spiritual person. Our treasures ought to be laid up in heaven. We ought to have our minds on the things of God. Paul said, mortify the deeds of the body. Mortify the deeds of the body. Come on, folks. Somebody said to Brother Pike, when Paul said, mortify the deeds of the body, what Paul meant was that we shouldn't do evil things in the flesh. That's not what Paul meant at all. Amen. It is a true fact that we should not do evil things. For the Bible tells us that everyone that names the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. It's true that we should not do iniquity. But when Paul said mortify the deeds of the body, he meant to get away from the desires of the world. He said abstain from the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh which warreth against the soul. We're too fleshly. We want too many things in the world. We want to be too much like the Joneses. Isn't that right? We want to do something their way. We feel like God says it's all right for us to be part of the world. But, beloved friend, that's not it at all. There is a devil. He's the prince of this world. He's the God. Are you listening? I said he's the prince of this world. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't believe the devil's got this world. He certainly has. He took Jesus up on the mountain and he said, look at here. See all of these things that he pointed out, the things of the world. He didn't say, you see all these things, they belong to God. He said, all of these things belong to me. Wasn't that what he said? And he said, the man that'll get lustful and the man that'll desire the things of the flesh and the man that wants an inheritance in the world, said, I'll give it to him. Isn't that right? How did Satan get it? The Bible said the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God. How did Satan get it? Because God created a man and gave it to a man. And Satan overpowered the man and took it back from a man. And Jesus came and overpowered the devil and took it back from the devil and gave it to you and I. Is that right? He never gave it to the world. The world still got control of it. You know why? Because it's not been renovated and sanctified and still the land of Esau now. To those that are out there in the world, people that belong to Esau's generation, people that belong to the devil, they're going to eat and drink and buy and get gain and enjoy the frolics and enjoy the lakes and enjoy the shores of the beaches. They're going to do it because this is the world. And this world belongs to a God. And that God's got a people. But there's also a God who is eternal. The Spirit, Jesus Christ. There is another world. And that is a spiritual world. And there is another man, and that is a spiritual man. And there is another inheritance, that's a spiritual inheritance. You understand what I'm saying? Someday God's going to renovate this earth and clean it off. Bind the tares into bundles. Do away with the squatters. Take this world away from the kings and powers of this world. And the sons of God will set up the kingdom of God. And bring in a great millennium, and this earth will be purged. Because God made this earth to be inhabited, and those that are born to the Spirit of God will dwell in this earth and own everything therein. You know what? God is a spirit. God is a spirit. How many got time to listen just a few more minutes? Give me a chance to get a little swallow of water, will you? When you're up here, it really runs out fast. I won't hold you long now. Just hold on a few more minutes now. I've just got a few things I want to say to you tonight. All right. Now listen. Remember that we are born of the first birth as a natural man. You understand? God, who is the all self-existing eternal one, the Spirit, God, Elohim, El Shaddai, the omnipresent present God, that God, the self-existing one, listen now, he does not have a human body in the earth. Jesus has gone away. That human covering, that body is sitting at the right hand of God. There is not a human person in the earth today of God. So then God the Eternal Spirit hath need of you. God the Eternal Spirit is speaking today, saying that I am lost off from my world, and my world is lost off from me. And only through Jesus Christ is it redeemed. And God is saying to me, and God is saying to you, if you will give me your human life, a few short years of trouble and sorrow, if you will trade your life to me, if you will let me live in your body through your lifetime, then I will give you eternal life and riches forever and ever and ever. If you will loan me your body for just a few days, that I might tabernacle in it, that I might testify to the lost and dying, that I might reach mankind, that I might show myself as a living example of righteousness, that they might see the way to go, that I might be an open door in your life as I was in the body of Jesus. If you will give me your tabernacle for a few days, then I will give you back the tabernacle, and I will give it to you in a glorified, preserved manner. The body of Jesus Christ itself, well-pleasing in the sight of God. And you can have it forever and eternally with the youth and happiness and wealth and riches. Are you listening? For he that loseth his life for my sake shall gain it. But he that gaineth his life in this world, Jesus said he shall lose it. Live it up. Take your body. Take your tabernacle. Do the things that you want to do. Go the places you want to go. Say the things you want to say. But one day God's going to call you to the judgment. He'll give you this world. Satan, thou savest the things that be of the world, that old intellectual mind. Go on. Enjoy the things of the world. You can have the world. Is that right? The Bible tells us not to bother with it. Is that right? It tells us to forsake the things of the world. Is that right? Love not the world. Is that right? Neither the things that are in the world. For all that is out of the world is the pride of life. And the lust of the flesh, and the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, hallelujah. You know, you see a great prince. You see a great king. The other night, the Queen of England, they had the film to the Queen of England. How beautiful. You see the Queen of England. We'll be over there in a few days if nothing happens in that area where she's at. They ride her out in a golden chariot. A beautiful golden chariot. That looks like something that Cinderella was in when they speak of the fairy tale. You understand what I said? A beautiful golden chariot. And the beautiful, beautiful horses. And the people and the soldiers around and the multitudes praising the queen. Oh, what a sight to behold. Everybody saying, long live the queen. You understand? Oh, but brothers and sisters, that's only a type. That's only a shadow. That's only a figment of imagination. That isn't anything. That's going to pass away. God only let that happen to let you know the greatness of God. But just think, we that serve God, we that obey God, that's really going to happen to us. We really are going to be kings and priests under God. We really are going to be a royal generation. The world really will bow down to us. And the Bible said, I will make them to come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. Just think. We'll be royalty. Hallelujah. Celebrities, dignitaries. Hallelujah. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a few years with trouble like the queen. But beloved, we will be forever and ever and forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody believe that, brother. Somebody must believe that then, because I felt the Holy Ghost. Saint, we are. You say, Brother Pike, those movie stars out in Hollywood, that's something. That's something out there, isn't it? That's something. Those movie stars out there in Hollywood, that's something. Celebrities riding in Rolls Royces. having the very best, everybody praising them. But, beloved friend, that's only a type. But we're the true stars. Hallelujah. We'll shine forever and ever in the kingdom of our Father. Hallelujah. We are the true sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. What royalty. I'm not talking about a fairy tale. Glory to God. I'm not talking about Cinderella. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. Your hair might come out. You might be bald. You might not think you're so handsome. You might get fat and might get out of proportion. You might get a little age on you. But I want you to know that in God's sight, you're perfect. Every hair in your head's numbered. Someday as a young, handsome man, as a young, beautiful lady, you'll walk down the avenues of Christ in heaven to never die, to never lose that youth, to have eternal wealth and riches and health and glory and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? So then there is a door open in heaven. God is a spirit. Now listen as we try to find a place to close here. That was a heaven all the way to Calvary. What was it? It was the first heaven. The first move of God into the earth. And then there was a second heaven. What was that heaven? That heaven was from Calvary over to the rapture of the church. And that heaven has been going on. That was not the law. That was the days of grace. We're still in that heaven. That's still the days of grace, beloved. But how many of you know that the book of Revelation records that not only was the church in that heaven, not only was the woman in that heaven, not only was she standing there with her feet on the moon as she travailed to bring forth a man child, but also Satan the red dragon was in that heaven. How do you know that Satan went up before God in the days of Job? Is that right? So in the second heaven, Lucifer was there. Is that right? How did he get in? He got in through the days of grace. That second heaven, he got into the days of grace to reign on the just and the unjust. The unjust has the reign and the devil lives on the inside of him. Is that right? So they're in the days of grace, the second heaven. Are you listening? And that's been a great heaven. That's been a great day. But just as the days of the Jews was over and that heaven was over, so have we come to the end of that second heaven. Have you noticed that America's had a foot on the moon? Have you noticed that Jimmy Carter's been caught up to rule with a rod of iron? Have you noticed the red China and Russia has moved in like a red dragon to devour the world? Right. Have you noticed? Yeah. Hallelujah. Did you notice that in the days they taxed Joseph and Mary, the child was born? Have you noticed that in our day they taxed the churches while the church is heavy with child and ready to bring forth a man child? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. That heaven is over. If that heaven is over, what does it mean? It means the days of the Gentiles is finished. It means the door to the Gentile church is closed because the door is in the second heaven. Jesus Christ hanging between heaven and earth. That door to the Gentiles, when the second heaven is over, the door is closed. The Bible said the red dragon went out. Why? The second heaven was over. How was it over? No more grace. Grace was over. The blood come off of the mercy seat. The angel took the censer, dropped back, threw the censer into the earth, filled it with the fire from the altars of God. And the Bible said there was lightning and thunderings and earthquakes. What was it? The bombs falling. The bombs falling. He threw it into the earth and there was earthquakes and there was thunderings and there was lightnings. Is that right? And old Brother John said, I saw the earth go into a convulsion. And I saw the islands that's down at the bottom of the sea right now. As the earth began to roll and tumble, I saw those mountains come up out of the water. And I saw the mountains that we see and look at here. As the earth rolled over as it went down into the water. And the islands of the mountains were moved out of their places. I saw the earthquakes. Great lightning and hail and thundering. What was it? The second heaven was over. But beloved, there was a third heaven. Amen. Glory to God, the woman didn't go up into it. Did she? When the heaven was over, she went into a wilderness. Is that right? The church age. The church age is being over. The church world going through the tribulation. Is that right? God making Jacob pass under the rod. Is that right? The Old Testament, when a man-child was born 7 days before that woman could turn to her husband, that man-child before the tribulation born caught up to the throne of God, which means riding over the tribulation period, sitting down on the throne of David to rule in the millennium. That woman had to go through the 7 days of purification, which is that 7 years of tribulation, going through that to purify herself before she could return to her husband out there in the millennium. Is that right? Before Israel can come in Revelation 19. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, beloved friend, there's something that's taking place. That woman went into a wilderness, the days was over, the tribulation came. But the man child was raptured up into the third heaven. Hallelujah. So he went up. That means it's another move. The first one was over Calvary. Now the second one's coming to an end. But the third heaven is here at last. What was the first heaven? What was the second heaven? What was the third heaven? You understand what I'm saying? I wish we had time to go into it tonight. But I'll say a few words at close. A third heaven, what was the third heaven? Paul said, when I received the revelation of Jesus Christ, I was caught up into the third heaven. Amen. What is that third heaven? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the mind of the living God. There's been a mind in the earth until Calvary that brought a revival. There was another mind, another move of God that was in the earth until our day. Yeah. And now there's another mind, another portion of the great mind of Christ. Which is the third heaven, bringing us into that third dimension, that third age, that third elevation, 30, 60, 100. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bringing us up into it. Everybody will not enter into it. The Jews was cut off at the first heaven ended. As it ended at Calvary, they went out of the presence of God in the darkness. When the second heaven ends, the Gentiles go down to the presence of God in the darkness. And then the third heaven ushers in the great millennium of God. That revelation of Jesus Christ, where we reign with Him for 1,000 years. And when that great heaven seems to be at an end, instead of ended, God will transformate it and preserve it and glorify it, bring it into the celestial for eternally, ever and ever and ever. You understand what I'm saying? That means that the day is over, revival. They're being shut out. The Gentiles are being shut out. What's on now? There's only one move on in the earth, the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is that? The catching up of the man child. The mind of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's catching us up into the presence of God. The travail is over. You can see the world going into a lax stage. You can tell it's over. You can tell it's over. People retiring, buying on credit, doing anything but working. They don't fast and pray and travail in the church anymore. Is that right? Used to lay in the altars for hours. They don't do it anymore. Why? It's over. So then there's one move on. What is that? The translation. Enoch was translated by faith. Faith of what? Faith of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Is that right? Hallelujah. From glory to glory, we're changed in the glorious image of God. So then, here we are. One more move. That's why we're at Waycross. It all happened at Calvary. All happened at Calvary. Hallelujah, that's why we're down here tonight. I wish we had time to go into some present day truths. But I can assure you something is taking place. I want you to stand with me tonight. Appreciate your kind attention. I appreciate your kind attention. Not only tonight do I appreciate it, but I appreciate it last night and the night before. Every night we've had a good crowd of people. These records, maybe you've not seen them, but this is their little record here. That it's got Destruction Concerning America on it. And some songs that we've written. And this is their 8-track right here. And this is their family album. This family album really has to do with Revelation. And they don't charge you anything for it. They don't sell. They don't have gimmicks. They don't practice anything. They're trying to do something for God and work by faith. And God is really blessing. So then if you want one, all you got to do is see Brother Frank Beretta. He's out there, and he'll talk to you about it after service. All right? I want you to sing a little chorus with me. Now, I'm not going to tarry long tonight, because I know you're tired. I preached a little longer last night than I thought that I preached. I didn't know I preached quite so long. But tonight while she's playing on the organ. I said the first night here that I pray for the sick. I said, if you come out here, I'll pray for you and God will heal you. And he will.
Amen.
He will. You come in faith, believing, nothing doubting, nothing wavering. God will heal you. You say, how do you know he'll heal you? Because he said he would heal you. And if God said he would heal you, then he'll heal you. God's no lie. What God said he will do. The Bible said he will hasten to perform his word. Ain't but one thing that can keep God from blessing us, and that's our unbelief. So then why disbelieve when we can believe? The just shall live by faith, so let's believe. Tonight, while Dale's playing on the organ, let's sing a little chorus together. Now you remember what I said, beloved friend. All of the other religions will go to seed. I said a number of years ago, I said, by the year of 1970, I said, if you'll watch, the great lights of the earth, religious lights, will go out. Not only that, but politically. They did. They did. Brother Roberts fell away in his old age. Brother T.L. Osborne turned away to the things of the world. Brother William Branham had a wreck, was killed. Brother Jack Code died. Brother A.A. Allen died. Armstrong, the great preacher over the radio, they found him or accused him of being mixed up with in an affair with a woman. Billy Graham took sick and pulled off the field. And even though I made a statement, him and old Roberts would try to make a comeback. Yet I said it wouldn't succeed. And it won't. I wish you could read the letter that Carl wrote me from Sweden after one of the Billy Graham crusades. And though he said Billy spent up, said just the Pentecostals alone, it cost him over, I believe I got it right over $100,000 just for advertisement or whatever that they put in the crusade. I got the figures at home, not sure it's what it is. But he said, Brother Pike, now that he's gone, said they've checked in the churches and said they can't find one, not one, where it done any good. You love Jesus. I might not have as many as Billy Graham, but there's one thing about it, I went back many long years after and found them that we led to God, they're still strong and some stronger than ever. Hallelujah. Going on for Jesus. Talking about going on for Jesus. Every plant my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So tonight as we sing this little chorus, we want you to come and be with us. Coming down from my Father up above, will sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in your fathom bliss billows sublime. Can you sing it with me? Well, it's peace, oh peace, what a wonderful peace, coming down from my Father above. Oh, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In your fathomless billows of love. While she's singing, playing tonight, I want you to come and gather around the altar tonight. If you're here lost and undone without God, I want you to come. If you're saint of God, I want you to come. If you're beat down, bound, and needing help from God, I want you to come. If you're sick, I want you to come. While she plays, and while we sing it again, can we? Oh, it's peace, oh, peace, wonder, oh, peace coming down from my Father above. So sweep over my spirit forever. I pray in your fathomless billows of love. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Sing it with me. Can you? There, oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Oh, if your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and you have to get along on Maker Fair. Oh, just remember in God's Word how He fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Sing it, can you? Oh, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now while she's playing on the organ, if you want me to lay my hands on you and pray for you, I'll lay my hands on you and pray for you. And I solemnly promise you on the authority of God's Word tonight that if you'll come believing tonight, I promise you that God will heal your body tonight. I promise you that there'll be a healing tonight. If you'll come, don't doubt. Just believe. God will heal your body tonight. Will you do it? You want to be prayed for? Just come right here where I can pray for you. I'll be glad to lay hands on you. Let's lift our hands up tonight. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for my brother tonight. Oh, hallelujah, I feel his faith already. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight, Jesus. I feel the wonderful presence of your divine spirit, mighty Holy Ghost of God. I feel you healing your body, Jesus. Glory to God, I feel you honoring this man's faith. I feel you making him whole tonight, Jesus. I feel you making him whole. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sir, I really believe God healed you. I really believe that. I felt faith in God, and I felt you receive that tonight. Hallelujah. I felt God do something for you tonight. Hallelujah. Let's praise God, can you? Let's praise God, can you? Lift your voices up to God tonight. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You want me to pray for you tonight? Come on over. I'll lay hands on you and pray for you tonight. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for this little mother, dear God, I feel faith in this building tonight. These people need a touch from God. Hallelujah! I feel you healing this little mother tonight. Glory to God, I feel you breaking the yoke tonight. Heal her. Use her for the glory of God tonight. Let the mighty hand of God be upon her. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless this little baby in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. I feel God healing. I feel God healing. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel God healing tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Gary, you turned in a request to me last night. I believe God granted it. I prayed about it last night. I believe God granted it. Both of them. I prayed about both of them. I believe He done exactly what I asked Him to do last night. Father, as I pray for this sister tonight, oh, mighty God, I pray for her. I lay hands upon her tonight in faith, Jesus. Lord, her faith has been cowered down, Jesus, but You're going to lift it up tonight. Yes, You are, Jesus. I feel You doing it right now. God, heal this body. God, restore virtue to this life. God, heal this life tonight, Father. God, let the mighty hand of God be upon this woman tonight. Let her be used of God. Let that yoke be broken. I adjure thee, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I plead the blood against you that you take your hands off of her and stop hindering this lie in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I feel God doing something tonight. What are you praying for tonight? Hallelujah. I feel God doing something tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Oh God, I feel You touching this person right now. Lord, this thing that she desires of You, God, You've done it. God, it's gone from her life because we ask You. We ask You in the name of Jesus. She's free from it, Father. Hallelujah. Heal the spot. Strengthen her. It will be a great testimony for God. Father, in Jesus' name, it's gone. Hallelujah. Father, take this little lad tonight. Mighty God in heaven. I feel Your presence tonight. I feel Your spirit tonight upon this land. Grant his request in the name of Jesus tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I lay hands upon the sister tonight. Lord, she's been a tear of night after night. Listening. Hallelujah. Mighty God in heaven, heal the spotty. Break the yoke, Jesus. Take away every strain, God, from this mind and this heart. Oh, God, I feel You here tonight. Use her in Jesus' name tonight. Glory, glory. The name of Your lovely Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God tonight. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. You want to be prayed for tonight, I'll pray for you. I feel God moving tonight. I feel God in His temple tonight.